Hilchos Taruvos. So we're going to Mirtz Hashem try to pick up the pace a little for the rest of this man to try and get through whatever we can of Hilchos Taruvos. Some of the Yisodos are very important. The topics are a little less Halacha L'maisa than Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. We start with the basic rules of Taroves. There's a din, which Sif Beis really gets into the details of, called Tam Keker. We'll see in Sif Beis, in Machlokas, whether Tam Keker is Darabanan or Daraisa. Right? But Tam Keker means if you have Taroves of Isser and Heter, and you can taste the Isser, even though the Isser is a small minority, if you can taste the Isser, then the whole thing is treif. The Gemara says, in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Zayin of an Aleph going to Amud Beis. There's a whole story that says we trust a Goy, a Kfeil Arma, a Goy, a Shef, the Amar Rav, Amar Rabbanim B'Taima, the Amar Rabbanim B'Kfeila, the Amar Rabbanim B'Shishim. Sometimes the Chachamim said to measure, to taste it, sometimes to ask a Goy to taste it, and sometimes to use Shishim. Okay, what are all those cases? So, the cases are, the case of Taima is not something that comes up all the time. Taima is Mim b'she'en omino dehetera. Two different, a combination of two different species of food that are both mutter, right? Like truma and chulin, or like I made a neder against meat, and meat got cooked in a stew or something. So then a Jew could taste it, like the Jew who's allowed to have those foods, could taste it, it's no problem. That's a pretty rare thing. Especially nowadays that we don't really have truma. Then there is Amar Rabbanan b'kfeila. When do you use a kfeila, meaning a goyah chef? That's if you have min b'she'en omino, the isura. Right? You have a mixture of isser and heter, which have different tastes. So like lard falls into your vegetable soup, lard tastes different vegetables. You want to know if it tastes like lard or not, you can't taste because you're a Jew and you're taking a 50-50 chance on eating something yesir. So instead, you have the goy tasted. And then there is shishim. When do we use shishim? The Gemara has two scenarios when you use shishim. The order of the scenarios is min benino. If you have a tarovas of two things that are the same species, so there's no way to taste. Right, you have a tarovas of kosher meat and treif meat, or kosher milk, or kosher orange juice and treif orange juice, so it all tastes like orange juice anyway. So then, you just measure if it's more or less than shishim. Or, min b'she'en omino, the isura, the leka kfeila. Right, if you have a tarovas of two different things that are treif, but they're two different, treif and kosher, two different tastes, so theoretically, you can taste it to see if you taste the treif and the kosher, but you can't because you're Jewish. You guess you're going to taste it, but you don't have a goy. Then you measure it with shishim. The there's a few issues that come up, quite a few issues that come up in understanding, before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, in understanding this Gemara. One of the issues that comes up in understanding this Gemara is shishim. Where did shishim come from? Like, you tell me, taima, what's the mucker of the idea? Right, taima comes from tam ke'ikr. Kfeila comes from tam ke'ikr. There's a rule, tam is like ikr. If you can taste the treif, then it's like the treif is there. So I understand why you'd want to do a taste test, to see if you can taste it or not. But where does shishim come from? It doesn't say shishim anywhere in the Torah, perhaps. So, the answer is very unclear. The Gemara says that there's a machlokes daf tzadiches, whether the sheer bittul of the Surah in the Torah is 60 or 100. We obviously personally like the mind over 60. It says they both learned it from Zroa B'Shela. In the El Nazir, if anyone's ever been a Nazir, so when you finish, you have to bring
Shabbos.
What?
I met on the show.
Okay. So when he finishes, and we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash from here to Yemen, he has to bring three karbanos. One of them is an ola, a chatas, and a shlamim. And the shlamim is called El Nazir, and one of the special rules of that shlamim El Nazir is that you have to take the zerah b'sheila, the cooked foreleg, and give it to the kohen. And the assumption is that it's not just stam matan achulin to the kohen. No, it's hamur mehem kayotze mehem, as we say in the mornings. El shamur amnecha, el shenecha, the kohanim shem b'neim lavdeyem. Right, it's only eaten for kohanim. It's treif for zarim. So now the bailam eats the whole idol, the whole ram. But this foreleg is only kosher for kohanim. And we darshan from the psukim, you have to cook it all in one big pot. So then the question obviously becomes, if you cook it all in one big pot, why doesn't the zerah b'sheila, the aser, the rest of the ayil, and how can the bayan eat it? So the darshan, because it's only a 60th. And it's batel b'shishim. So from here we derive the principle of bitel b'shishim. So the question is, what does that mean? And here we have three basic opinions in the Mefarshim about the nature of this rule of shishim. And one is definitely a mainstream. One is Rashi. That's not the mainstream. I don't mean the first. Rashi takes this Gemara seriously. Rashi is the one famous Rishon. I'm sure there's always more obscure. But among the famous Rishon that are often quoted, he's the one who takes this Gemara seriously. And Rashi assumes this is a real drasha d'oraisa that you need shishim to be mevatel isurim. And why shishim? I don't have to know why shishim. I deduce it from a pasuk, right? That's Hashem Yisbarach's problem as to what the logic behind it is. Not mine. I just learned it from a pasuk. So Rashi says it's a drasha gemura and it's a gzeiras hakasov of bitul b'shishim. That's Rashi. However, And Rov Rishonim say no, that is an asmachta b'alma. That's an asmachta b'alma. Really, there's no drasha d'oraisa of shishim is asmachta b'alma, so where does shishim come from? So Rashi and most Rishonim say, Tosfos, and most Rishonim say, where does shishim come from? We mentioned this before. How does Tanki Iker become shishim? Chazal did a lot of tests, and they discovered that, as a general rule, once you dilute something 1 to 60, you can't taste it anymore. Right? There's a Gemara that says that they did tests of all the Kamini Surim, and they saw that none of them gave Kam more than these cases of onions and meat, whatever it was, some specific type. And Tosfos says what that means is shishim. Tosfos says they did taste tests and they discovered right around here someplace. Okay. I'm not going to find it now. And they discovered that that generally, normal, commonly found treif foods, obviously you can have exceptions, you know, if you would grow treif pepper or salt, then that would be different. But the normal treif foods, you know, meats and fish and cheese and other things that are commonly treif, are all if it's less than 60th, you can't taste them anymore. Obviously, some of them, it only requires 10 to 1. Some of them 21, some of them 31. By 60 to 1, you're on the safe side. So it's a rule of thumb to err on the side of caution. It's not that the average trade food is batel b'shishim. No, the average trade food, I have no idea. Maybe batel 10, 20, or 30. But almost all trade foods in the world are batel and shishim. So if you know it's a 60 to 1 ratio, you know that it is batel. That is an asmachta b'alma. It is just an estimate of Tom. And again, not an accurate estimate. An estimate to be on the safe side. If you have 60 to 1, you know you can't taste it in all normal foods. That's Tosos and Most Rishonim. So it's really just Midin Tom Keiker. But what do we do if you can't taste it? So if you can't taste it, you excuse me, use this rule of thumb. The Rambam seems to have a third opinion. The Rambam is not 100% clear, but it's pretty clear if you look at the Shitasa, and we discussed this once in the Sugya of Kal, that the Rambam seems to have a third opinion in Hilchas Macholas Asuros in the 15th Perek, says the Rambam. He says you should know only serving the Torah or no Saint Tom. But what if so from hakol usher ad sheyove davar usher meotzim miutam lo yadavar chashav sheino medes. Oh, sorry, meotzim miutam. The davar chashav is something else. It says midrabanan. If you have min bemino and you can't taste anything, it should really be batal. Midrabanan, it's usher unless it is nevad beotzim miutam. Unless it's very small. Nimtas lomig. Therefore, he says any type of yisur in the Torah, whether malchus, kares, yisur hana, etc., they get mixed in. If it is Mimshenomino, you check for taste. If it's min bimino, then it's bottle in 60, 100, 200. Okay, most things are 60. Truma is 100, and Orla and Klayakerem are 200. So the Rambam seems to say, what's the point of 100? Of 60. The point of 60 is never zero drabana, never ba'otze miyuto. That seems to be a third sheet of the Rambam, says the Rambam. The Rambam also seems to see it as an asmachta bi'alma. And the Rambam says it's an asmachta bi'alma. It's just gazru iser al hataroves ella in Cain. Nevad beotzem miuto. It seems to be a din drabanan of just a miut. Just that's a sheer drabanan, how small it is. Remember, he said the Shitasa, that's why he thought Chal was in 59, because in 60 is not an estimate of taste. 60 is just a xerid drabanan. Therefore, they can make it 60 sometimes, say that it's very small, they can make it 59 sometimes. We'll see they made it 61 sometimes, they made it 100 sometimes, etc. Now, that's the first issue we want to deal with, is where does Shishim come from? Again, Rashi thinks it's a real Xerah d'oraisa, which is a Xerah because of Shishim. Most Rishonim thinks it's Asmachta, but the Rambam says it's Asmachta and doesn't say it's a way of estimating taste, just as stomach Xerah d'Rabbanan. Most Rishonim list that we paskin say it's a Xerah d'Rabbanan, say it's an Asmachta b'Alma, and it's not Asmachta b'Alma because they need a rule of Shishim. There's no rule of Shishim. There's no din of Shishim. There's just an estimate of Shishim, that if you know something's less than a 60th, then you know that you can't taste it. Well, if it's more than a 60th, you might be able to taste it.
Would you say a nafkamina first, some kind of like non-kosher ingredient that we know has a very powerful taste, and we know even though it's bottled with Shishim, we know it's going to taste like this?
It's going to be a little tricky, because for Tosfos, clearly it's going to be tricky. For the Rambam, though, we'll see. The Rambam also says that we care about taste. This is only in case where we don't know what it tastes like. Maybe if we don't know what it tastes like, a better nafkamina would be, what if truma got mixed in min bimino? Sorry, min b'she'eno mino. Truma got mixed in min b'she'eno mino. Truma tomatoes got mixed in with my zucchinis, right? Soup, right? And it's a different taste, I'm assuming. So how would you measure it? So Tosos would say 60, the Rambam would say 100. Tosos would say 60 because you're estimating the taste. The Rambam would say no, it's just a rule, and the rule for Truma is 100. And if it would be Orla, it would be 200. That would seem to be one nafkamina. And we'll come back to that. as the Rambam says, if I can find the right part in the Rambam, I'm not going to look for it. right now, but that should be a nafkamina. excuse me, sorry. Now, the yeah. Now the second question is, what's the relationship between the rule of, and we have a clear psak here. We paskin like Tosfos and most Rishonim. That's very clear. The second question is, what's the relationship between kfela and shishim? When do you need kfela? When do you need shishim? So here it seems fairly simple. But it's actually a big machlokas Rishonim. Rashi says, that you always need shishim. After all, Rashi l'shitasi, shishim is a drasha gemura. So he says, it doesn't mean kfela or shishim. Here it means you need shishim and kfela. You only need shishim. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, you always need shishim. There's never a heter without shishim. There's never a heter without shishim, because shishim is Rosh HaDoraisa. What did Rava mean there? He meant that if there's a guy available and he could do a taste test, then you have to make sure it's less than 60. If then you also have to go through a taste test. Chazal were machmir. But if you can't do a taste test, either because they taste the same or because there's no guy available, then you're just matter based on shishim and they left it on the Doraisa. That's the shita of Rashi. The Rambam... the Rambam says very differently. The Rambam takes the Gemara the most kipshuto. He says, if you can do a taste test with a kfela, you have to use a kfela. And if you can't, meaning if you can't do a taste test, then you use shishim. Right? So if it's possible to get a guy to taste it, a guy has to taste it. If it's not possible to get a guy to taste it, you have to use shishim. As opposed to a third shita, which is the Ri and the Rush. And obviously, there's a few more shown here. They say no. Now, if you think about why, Rashi is l'shitase. This really flows out of the left of the board. Rashi is the dim shishim the right side. You always need shishim, meaning it's always treif unless you can check and see that it's less than a 60th. You always have to make sure it's less than a 60th. When there's a guy available and they taste different, you also have to go to taste it, just to make sure there's no taste, because he doesn't hold for any rule of thumb. He doesn't have an estimate. And when there's no guy available, you just leave it to the rice and do shishim. The Rambam says, no, kfeil is very important. You have to check for taste. So therefore, when you can't check for taste, you have to check for taste. When you can't check for taste, like min bamino or no kfela, then you're a bonin. They made the zasvach, then they gave you a rule of just make sure it's very small. The Ri and the Rush says, no, either shishim or kfela. They say if a goy is available, then you have a choice. There are two ways to tell that it's mutter. Either you can have a goy taste and it tells you it's mutter. He tells you he doesn't taste lard, fell into my vegetable soup. So either have a guy taste it, and he tells you, I don't taste any lard, or check if the lard is less than a 60th. And if it's less than a 60th, you know it's mutter, because you know you can't taste the lard. Right, so Tosos, this basically flows out of the three shitas as to where shishim comes from. you know, one could cross the lines. It makes a lot of sense. According to Tosos, really the ikar is tan. Shishim is just a way of estimating tam. So, if you have a goy, you can either actually do a taste test or estimate with shishim. If you can't do a taste test, you have to estimate with shishim. But it's both the same thing. You just have to do one of these things to make sure it has no taste. According to the Rambam, no, shishim is this gzeira the Rabbanan made when they couldn't make their gzeira of taste. So, when you can taste it, the tam ke'ikr, that's the most important thing. When you can't do tam, when you can't check for tam ke'ikr, because it tastes the same, or because the guy's not available, then they made a new rule, you know, shishim, and then made nesmachim zorobashela. Well, Rashi says, no, you always need shishim. There's no having in anything that has 159 isser. How can you possibly do that? That's also daraisa. It's just that when a goy can taste it, you have to make sure it's less than 60, and then also have the goy taste it.
For Rashi, the isser daraisa of less than shishim, is that because of Tom?
No. It's just like Zeres Akasim. Rashi is clear that Tom can't kill Darabonah, while shishim is daraisa. Now, the Ramban and the Rashi and the Ran have a twist on Tosos. The Rashi, the Ramban, the Rashi and the Ran say, excuse me, sorry, that I mean, clearly, the bottom of the board, everyone has to say the same. I mean, there aren't any choices available. The question is, what about the first case? They say that basically there are like two ways you can estimate it, but shishim is more trustworthy than starting with goyim. So therefore, they say that if the whole iser melted in, then you check with shishim. Like, if lard fell into my vegetable soup and the lard melted in my vegetable soup, then I just check with the lard more or less than a 60th. So the 60th is a really good rule to use in that case. However, in many cases, the lard doesn't melt in my vegetable soup. Like, for example, what if I don't know how much lard fell? Or better, it wasn't lard that fell in my vegetable soup. A piece of ham fell in my vegetable soup and I took it out. So we know some of the taste of the ham went into the vegetable soup, but don't know how much. Or I cook my vegetable soup in a treif pot. We know some of the treif from the pot went into the vegetable soup, but we don't know how much. So anytime you don't know the exact amount of taste molecules of treif that went in, right, if the whole iser melted in, then measure with shishim, right? If not, then you could be matur based on either shishim or kfeila. So they are similar to the Ri and the Rush. There's clearly a mainstream here that if you taste it and you see that there's no taste and it's mutter, if you know it's less than a 60th, that's a rule of thumb, it's also mutter. The only slight twist that the Ramban, Rashi, and Ran add is that they say, you know what, if you know exactly how much treif went in, like it melted in, you know exactly how many molecules of treif are in your soup, then don't start with a guy, just use shishim. Because you should only ask a guy if you don't really want to measure accurately with shishim, because let's say the ham fell in your soup and you took it out, or you don't know exactly how much lard fell in your soup. And then, if, let's say, ham fell in my soup and took it out, then if it was 100 ounces of soup and 1 ounce of ham, you mount your based on shishim. If 100 ounces of soup and 2 ounces of ham, then ask a guy to check, it's only 1 to 50. But if 2 ounces of lard fell in, then it's just treif. So just two. Illustrate the nafgaminas between these different shitas. What if I have, here's one case, what if I have 100 ounces of vegetable soup and in falls 1 ounce of lard, 2 ounces of lard, 1 ounce of ham, and then I remove it, or 2 ounces of ham, and then I remove it, right? What would each of these poskim say in each of these cases? So Rashi would say that if 1 ounce lard fell in, then it's less than a 60th, but I should still check with the kfeila. If 2 ounces of lard fell in usser, 1 ounce ham fell in, I have to check with the kfeila. 2 ounces fell in, it's usser. Because if you don't have 60, it's for sure usser. If you have 60, you still need to check with the kfeila if possible. The Rambam would say, just always check with the kfeila. The rule of 60 is only if you can't use a kfeila. But we always prefer to go to a kfeila and actually get a human being to give us a real, accurate answer. The Ri and the Rush would say that in this case, it's mutter, which is less than a 60th. In this case, you can't mutter based on shishim, it's the 50th, but get a kfeila, maybe he'll be mutter. And in this case, it's mutter. And in this case, you should get a kfeila. And the Ramban, Rashi, and Ran would say that in this case, it's mutter. In this case, it's usser. In this case, it's mutter. And in this case, kfeila. Meaning, if you know exactly how much because the lard like melted in, then you just go by shishim. You don't use a kfeila. Because we don't trust the Kfela if you can get a real, real accurate estimate of shishim. But if ham fell and you took it out, you just don't know how much juice of the ham went in, then you really, you don't really know how to measure shishim well. Well, we say, pretend all the ham taste went in because we don't know how much went in. Okay, but that's not a very accurate measure. So then, you can eat, then if it's 1 to 100 ratio, for sure it's mutter. After all, how much taste of the ham could have gone in? For sure less than 1%. If it's a 1 to 50 ratio, then you don't know how much ham taste went in. And then you get a kfela to check. Okay, those are the four main shitas. We'll have to see which shita we paskin like. Of course, there's a fifth shita in the Ramah. And that fifth shita is, we'll come back to in a moment, the Ogre. That's the second issue we have to discuss. Let's see if we have room on our board for all four issues we have to discuss. The third issue we have to discuss is the kfela. Now that we've gotten the shishim down, how about the kfela? So there are two machlokos about kfela. What are the two different issues about kfela? One discussed a little, one discussed a lot. So, okay, that's more of a specific. One is nemanus of kfela. Why do we believe him? After all, he's a goyim. We normally don't believe goyim. Two, what other issue did they discuss about the kfela besides nemanus?
Expertise,
right. Meaning, if there's nemanus, whether he's telling the truth, there's also whether he knows the answer in the first place, right? The guy might be the most honest guy in the world. If you ask him a hard calculus question and he doesn't know math, then it's not going to help you, even if he's the most honest guy ever. He also has to know what he's talking about. So first question is, how does he know what he's talking about? Right? Who has enough expertise? So the Gemara says, Kfela, and there's a Yesh Omrim, right? The Rashba quotes a Yesh Omrim, which the Mechutin of the Shach says is the Sheet of the Rush. Okay, but that's a bit of a fake within the Rush. The Mechaber quotes the Rashba quotes this Yesh Omrim, that Kfela is Davka. Only a chef can tell what tastes like what. You ever notice, chefs are much better than we are at telling what tastes like what. Like someone professionally works with food, they can taste things in something that we can't. I mean, anyone is a connoisseur, right? You know, even on the wine bottles, right? It says bouquet of, like, oak and whatever, and it all tastes the same to me. But even someone who's more of a connoisseur can taste these things. So for sure, a chef is used to tasting things, can tell you exactly what's in everything. There are people who are professional tasters out there. I mean, these are Yochid Bedor, that's obviously not what the Gemara meant. There are professional tasters out there who you can give them a cookie, and they can tell you, like, ridiculous things about it. Right? Like, now they can tell you basic ingredients. Like, they can tell you, like, if some of the ingredients were recycled for a batch of something else, and, like, some of these guys are very good. So, who is sensitive enough to tell the taste? Now, this is not a question of Metzias. We all know Metzias, a chef is more sensitive than a balabas. The question is, what's the halachic definition of taste? Is the halachic definition of tam something tasteable by an expert? Or is the halachic definition of tam something tasteable by an average person? Right? So if I can't taste it, but the chef can, do we say, well, you better ask the chef, because that's a taste? Or do we say, no, it's not a taste. The chef is tasting interesting things, but not halachically significant. So that's the basic one. Focus about expertise, not about the one is expertise. Expertise. Here is the Rashba. And here is the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim says, Kfela Davka. And the Rashba says, Lav Davka. As a matter of fact, the Rishonim say, so why is it called a Kfela if it's Lav Davka? So actually, three pshats and why it's called a Kfela. One pshat is the Yesh Omrim. It's called a Kfela because only a Kfela has the expertise to find a taste. The other pshat is, of course, Tosos. Tosos says, why Kfela? Because only a Kfela is believed, has their mothers. The third pshat is, no, he's just called a Kfela because you're asking him to taste something. When you ask someone to taste something, you are treating them like a chef. You're calling him a Kfela. Anyone who I go to build a dresser for me, I call a carpenter, whether they're a real carpenter or not. And when I say I'm having my computer guy come over, even if it's really, a medical student who just dabbles in computers, I call him a computer guy if I call him to fix my computer. So if I'm calling him to taste something, I call him a Kfela. Okay, so we don't know what to do with Kfela. Is it for expertise? That's the pshat of the Yesh Omrim, Kfela Davka. However, we do not paskin that way. We do not paskin that way. We paskin like the Rashba. And what's the Yesod? The Yesod is Tam Hanirgash Likfela Velo literal bnei adam. The yisod is, what's the din of a tam that a kfeila can taste, but most people can taste? So, the Yesh Omrim says, it's a halachic tam. And therefore, you better give it to a kfeila so you can tell if there's a halachic tam or not. While the Rashba says, it's not a halachic tam. Okay, if you want to tell me the company hires people to do this, and when the Kraft Foods hires people to do this, that's their business. But halachically, it's not called a tam if most people can't taste it. We pass like the Rashba, that halachically, if most people can't taste it, it's not called a tam, and therefore, you don't need to go to a kfeila for expertise, you can go to anyone. And why is he called a kfeila? Either because he has no nemonis, if he's not a kfeila, as we're about to mention in a second, or lambda, we just call him a kfeila because we're using him as a kfeila. Okay, now we're up to the fourth thing we want to discuss, and then we're ready for the Shulchan Aruch. The fourth thing we want to discuss is nemanos of a goy. Here we have a big problem, which is, why is there nemanos for a goy? The normal rule is that a goy is not neman kol Torah kula, right? Eid echad neman bisurin is only a yid. So why would there be nemanos for a goy? So here, excuse me, we have a big machlokas rishonim. What's the basis of his nemanos? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Or what does Tosfos say? Or what does anyone say?
He's a kfeila, so he's not going to...
Exactly. That's Tosfos and the Ran. Tosfos and the Ran says, Uman lo mari nase. And therefore, it's kfeila davka. It's not kfeila, not because only a kfeila knows how to taste. Because only a kfeila, meaning if he was a yid, we'd believe a balabas, right? If it was a mixture of truma and chulin, we'd believe a balabas coming. Because we go by the taste of a balabas. But only a kfeila is going to be honest with us. Why? Because goyim have no nemanus. What do you mean goyim have no nemanus? Like, I think he's a nice guy and you think he's a nice guy. But halachically, that's not nemanus. So how do we have nemanus? Only with a chazaka. What's a chazaka? If I ask a regular guy to taste something, there's no chazaka. But if I ask a chef to taste something, then of course he's not going to lie. Why? Because if he lies, then he's going to call into question his expertise as a chef. Imagine, I ask this guy, do you taste any lard in this soup? And he says, no, absolutely no taste of lard. What if we discover that there is a taste of lard in the soup? Then everyone's going to say, not everyone's going to say, oh, this guy's a liar. That's not enough for proof. Everyone's going to say, what kind of chef is he? If he doesn't even know the difference between the taste of lard and the taste of vegetables, he's not a very good chef, and no one's going to give him their business anymore, because they're going to all think he's a bad chef. That's Oman Lomari Nasa. We trust a guy if he's telling us professional information, because even though moral, we don't have Eid Echad Amisurim by Goyim, we don't assume that for moral reasons a guy is reluctant to lie, but we do assume that no one wants to lose their money, no one wants to hurt their profession, their business. And therefore, they would never lie about their business because people might think that they're just a bad chef and not go to them anymore. The same as a goyish doctor, right? So we paskin, if a goyish doctor tells you something medical, that has nemanus, even though there's no eid echad nemi bisurin by a goy, because a doctor wouldn't give you false medical information, because if you found out, you would tell everyone that he's a terrible doctor, and you would have proof that he's an incompetent doctor. And then he would lose his business, and he wouldn't be able to make money anymore. That's the sheet of Tosfos and the Ran. However, Rashi and the Rush have a different shot. What's Rashi and the Rush's shot? Mesiach lefi tumo. There's a principle we find many places in Halacha. Mesiach lefi tumo. Meaning he's speaking innocently. Right, there's a principle in halacha called innocent speech. I think, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that's also in modern day Western law, also this comes up sometimes, like hearsay testimony, that like there's more nemanus if someone was speaking innocently. Meaning, the guy's just talking, he doesn't know that it's important. So, the assumption is, now of course, he might be joking around, but he has no incentive to lie. So if I just ask someone a stam question, like why would they lie? They're just stam talking, right? So, for example, If the Gemara says, for Eidus Isha, for the Matar Naguna, if a guy comes and says, I want to testify that Mrs. Schwartz can be married because I saw Mr. Schwartz die, then he's not believed. But if we overhear the guy talking to his friend and say, he tells his friend, you wouldn't believe what a terrible avalanche it was. Mr. Schwartz, Mr. McPherson, and Mrs. O'Leary all got caught in the avalanche and died. Then he's talking innocently, like there's no reason he would lie. And then he is more nemanus because there's no incentive to lie. Like, why would someone just lie stam? I mean, it would be a little weird for people that there are pathological liars out there. But most people wouldn't lie stam unless they thought that there was something in it for them. Or unless they thought, like, so if you ask a guy halachic shayla, and this, by the way, a very common problem nowadays, in Chasnid and others, that if you have someone who's not from or not Jewish, and like you ask them a shayla and they know it's a shayla, they'll always say it's mutter. Because they'll say, well, I might as well be nice to the person and tell them it's mutter, and who cares anyway, right? Or they might say it's usher if they want to be mean, or whatever the case may be, just to make fun of you. But if they're speaking innocently, the odds are they're telling the truth. That's Mesiach Levitumo, that's the Shita of Rashi and the Rush. There are... excuse me. Actually, three more shitas about this. The Rashba says, either one of the above. He says they're both right. And they both have a good point. Mesiach Levitumo makes sense. And Olamar and Nosei, they're sort of opposite. One is because they don't think it's such a big deal they won't lie. The other is because they think it's such a big deal that they for sure won't lie. There's no gain to them. You know, one is they don't know if they'll get to anyone, so why would they lie? The other is they know if they'll get to their own business, so they wouldn't lie. But they're both right, so either one. If you have a kfela, then you could ask him and tell him it's a big deal. And if you have a balabas, then you could just ask innocently. The Rashi quotes Yesh Omer, and some people interpret the Rush this way. Although it's not so clear to me this is what the Rush means. But it's machlok zachronim, what the term meant to say the Rush means. But the Yesh Omrim in the Rashba, and maybe the Rush, like the Torah says, and my father the Rush said similarly. So, and exactly like this, or just partially like this, but some people say similarly, and maybe the Rush, I'm skeptical personally, says you need both factors. You need to be both Uman and Mesiach Levitumo. That's not so clear why they would need both factors. That's not such a mainstream shita. But the Trumas Hadeshin and the Shatz Mechutin argue, do they need both factors because they need a lot of nemanis, so you need two things to give them nemanis, or do you need Mesiach Levitumo for nemanis and Uman for expertise? And the fifth sheet is the Rambam. What does the Rambam say, trick question? Right, and he doesn't say you don't need either. He just says you ask a guy. Right, he just says you ask a guy. And that's striking because, when is it always, and let me just find it here.
Lamed.
Is that where he gets to it? 1 second. Yes, thank you. It's more striking when the Rambam says something when he just quotes the Lashon of the Gemara, or when he says something that's not the Lashon of the Gemara. Obviously.
No.
If he just quotes the Lashon of the Gemara, you can always say, Lav Davka, he's just quoting the Gemara. When he changes the Lashon of the Gemara, then he obviously means it very, very Bedavka. The Gemara says Kfela, and the Rambam says, Toim Osam Akum. Okay, the Rambam changes Kfela to Akum. So it seems pretty clear that the Rambam says, no, a stam akum is neman, and that's very strange. Why would a stam akum be neman? So this is what...
Why are we talking about nemanus here? We just want to know, he's not like testifying or something. We just want to know.
What do you mean? We don't know if it's kosher or treif. Lard fell into my vegetable soup. It might taste like lard, in which case it's chaz or treif.
It's not a halachic question, it's a factual question.
Okay, so is... Okay. So is half, so is whether Mr. Schwartz died or not, So it is a letter. I don't know if this meat was bought from a kosher butcher or a treif butcher. That's a factual question. I mean, most halachic questions are factual questions. I mean, you're right, but perhaps. So now, which of these shitas are difficult?
The quasi-rush.
So the quasi-rush is difficult. Why would you need both? Right? So this is a bit of a... Let's make a difficult... this is a bit of a difficult shita. Why would you need both? So, you could say maybe for... maybe there's a high standard of nemanus. This is the Trumas Hadeshen. After all, Misich Vitumo doesn't necessarily work for Doraisis. And Umulumaru Umnase is not in Furshan Shas, it works. So you have two things that don't work. Maybe you need both to work. Or, Mesiach Lefitumo for Nemanos and Uman for expertise. Right? And then going back to that Yesh Omrim, it's the same Yesh Omrim in the Rashba. Right? What's more bothersome, I think, to many Mefarshim are... Exactly. Is that the Rambam is difficult. Kasha Dehare Goy Eino Neman. And Rashi and the Rashba are half difficult. Why are they half difficult? Because what's the rule? Mesiach Vitumo is Neman.
By
Drabanans, but not by Doraisas. Right? So they're half difficult. I mean, Rashi's fine. Rashi holds Tom Kaker's only Drabanan. Right? So this is Nicha l'Rashi disavar Tom Kaker mi Drabanan, but Kasha l'Rashba dipasak Tam ke'ikr min haTorah. If Tam is an Issur D'oraisa, we know we never believe Mesiach Vitumo Issur D'oraisa except for only one exception. What's the one exception? Aedus Isha for an Aguna, Mishum Aguna Ikilu Bar Abanan, right? Mishum Aguna Ikilu Bar Abanan. But normally we only believe Mesiach Vitumo for D'oraisas, not for D'oraisas. Meaning, if we have cheese, we don't know, right? If it's kosher cheese or treif cheese, if it's Venus Akor or Venus Yisrael, and a guy happens to mention innocently that he bought it from the kosher market, then we believe him. But if we have meat and we don't know if it's Jewish meat, Shechted meat, or Nevela meat, and the guy mentions innocently that he bought it from the kosher market, then we would not believe him, because that's a Shiloh of a Doraisa. Yes?
You can also push on the Rosh. I mean, what is the Rosh called the time here?
Did they quote the Rush? I don't remember if I have it written down. And if you mean to take the Pashup shot of the Rush, but I wish that he doesn't need both. I think the Rush is machra that it's the race, actually. But I'm not going to promise until I double check inside. But you can double check inside in the Shach. And I think he says that it's Doraisa. Again, if you take the normal pshat in the Rush, I think they quote the Rush here someplace that he also holds Tom Kaker is Doraisa.
The Beis Yosef quotes the Rush quoting Rabbeinu Tam.
Who's the Doraisa man, right?
Yeah, I don't think.
So if you take the Pashup shot of the Rush, then it's also difficult. The thing is, then, there are different shot than what the Rush meant, so we're not going to... Anyway, so the question is, how do we answer? How do we answer these questions? How do we defend... Let's start with how do we defend Mesiach Lefitumo. So how do we defend Mesiach Lefitumo? Anyone know the answers of some of the Achronim? What?
Why is that? Like, for you only need it for things that, like the Tazit,
for right, that's what the Zeb was trying to say, right? Right? The Taz says something which is difficult. The Achronim don't like the Taz, Zev does. Okay, who am I to get involved here? But, the Taz isn't willing to pass in this way, but he says it must be that, by the way, this is also difficult. I'll just point out for the Mechaber. The Mechaber paskins Tam Kikus Doraisa, and yet he paskins, we trust Mesiyah Fitumo, right? La Rashba, Mechaber. So how do we answer these questions? There are lots of answers. The truth is there's tons of answers floating around. There's lots of creative answers floating around. We'll just mention perhaps some of the main answers that are floating around. One is that the Truma Sadeshin's answer.
That was the Tom Kikers Rabbanon.
Yeah, that they really hold Tom Kikers Rabbanon. They're just machmir a little for Tom Kikers Doraisa. They don't really hold that way. So one answer is the Truma Sadeshin says no me'ikar hadin Tom Ke'ikar Midrabanan. He says, no, anyone who believes in Zichu Mitumah holds that Ne'ikar Nisgarabanan, even if they paskin Starach, so that's just to be extra machmir. But they don't, that's not the real psak. Okay, that's a big assumption. Another possibility is the Taz says, Taz says, no, there's Eidos, and now, I don't understand this so well either, but he says, there's Eidos and there's Hochacha. Some things need Eidos, and some things only need Hochacha. How do you need it by Eidos Davka? Only things that need Eidos, we don't believe Mesiach Vitumo. But things where Hochacha is good enough, we do accept Mesiach Vitumo. It seems to be that perhaps what he means is that only like when it comes to Dabar Sheva Erva, you know, we don't believe Mesiach Vitumo Doraisas. Because that's when you need Eidos. When it comes to Surin, that only needs Hochacha. Maybe we would believe Mesiach Vitumo. What? Yeah, clearly. So it's not clear exactly where he's drawing the line. Zev is suggesting someplace more subtle, like between what he calls halachic issues and what he calls Metzias issues, although all Eidos are Metzias issues. So I think maybe what the Taz is saying is a big finisher, and he's not willing to rely on this Lamaisa. But he says, maybe if you don't need two Eidim, then you trust Mesiach Vitumo. The Gemara says we only trust Mesiach Vitumo and Drabonans. That was only things that need Eidos. Now, there's a lot of caution on that, but maybe, he says, no, the rule is, he says, the klal is that Mesiach Lefitumo Neman Bedin Torah She'eno Tzarech Eidos. Okay, even in Din Torah, really Mesiach Lefitumo Torah Tumo is Neman Din Torah. But really is Neman. Oh, the Gemara says he's not Neman Doraisa. That's for things that need Eidos. But for things that don't need Eidos, then he's Neman, even in Doraisa. Another possibility, the Shach brought up here, quotes Yesh Omrin, but the Aruch HaShulchan likes this, etc., is what?
He's like a free.
Okay, that's the better pun, but he suggests maybe there's no Cheskes Isser. Or maybe there's even a Cheskes Heter. So says the Yesh Omrin in the Shach. He says, no, there's a new klal. Mesiach Lefitumo is Neman Bedin Torah if there's no Chezkas Isser. Okay, so we have some Chidushim here. Basically, people want to make Chidush, either Chidush Matam Kikr, even though the postman say it's Doraisa, they really hold Drabanan. They just mean it's going to be a little Machber for Doraisa, they really hold Drabanan. After Mesiach Lefitumo is Neman. Or they make big chidushim, which they're not like the paskin like. They just say this might be a svara. Either that Mesiach Lefitumo is Neman Doraisa and things that don't need Eidos, or it's Neman Doraisa and things that don't need Cheskes Isser. The problem is that all these answers are nice, but the Shach's answer is so good that you really don't need any of the answers. The Shach's answer is so good, it just blows the other ones out of the water. And the Gra endorses the Shach's answer and lots of other achronim. What are the Shach and the Grasse, what's the insight? Why over here would we trust Mesiach Lefitumo more than any place else?
Because
not because he can get busted, say better.
He will
get busted, meaning any Eidos he might get busted.
If he says no, it's not good, he won't get busted.
We're not actually going to check.
Even if he says not good, then we're not really relying on him. Right?
Okay.
Meaning to not eat it. You know, we can do that on our own. We're only relying on him if we eat it. It's not just that he might get busted. Every Eidos, you might get busted, and the assumption is nonetheless a guy doesn't have them on us. But in this case, he'll for sure get busted. Every Eidos, like Bechor, he says, oh, I'm selling this animal. You should know she already had a baby once. Now, he might get busted, but the odds are he won't. Like, what, we're going to find out whether this Chamora had a baby once or not? You know, he says, I bought this from the kosher store. He might get busted, but probably not. Like, obviously, it didn't come with the packaging, or maybe it's put in the bag of the kosher store. Like, are we going to go to the kosher store and ask, do you remember if this particular guy bought from you? And maybe he will, maybe he won't. You know, so in those cases, he's known about us. But here it's different. He's for sure going to get busted. Because the question was, what does this taste like? And if he's mater, we're about to eat it. So like he sees that we're about to eat it ourselves. Meaning it's right here to be eaten. And if he lies, we're going to for sure know that he lied.
So what?
So the assumption is, this is an assumption. You might say, no, goyim are so depraved that they still don't care. The assumption is. No, it's still sad. We have civilization. No one is going to lie to your face about something where in 2 minutes you're going to see that they lied. That's a chazaka. So maybe that explains, and it's such a good hesber, because this really is different than every other case in Shas, different than Eidos Isha, different than Bechor, different than all these other cases, in that he's for sure going to get busted. Who would lie if they're for sure going to get busted? Like, that's weird. Now, okay, there are weird people out there. So therefore, that's what he says, is this is not just, again, not regular most of you know, like it might get found out. It's for sure going to get found out. And it's not for sure going to get found out in 30 years. You know, Agnesisha maybe also will for sure get found out in 10 years. But it's for sure going to get found out in a minute. So therefore, it makes sense that a guy has more than modest here. That's just a... a great pshat. And the Gra endorses that, and this is the mainstream pshat. He says, right, not shavida legluye, like it might be. He says, ika lemekim alo de milsa. Right, we're for sure going to find out. Or milsa davida legluye, whatever. We'll use the phrase milsa davida legluye. But again, it doesn't mean it might eventually be found out. It means it'll for sure be found out right away. This is a super milsa davida legluye. And therefore, he has more nemanus. With this hesber the shach, that works not only for the Rashi and the Mechaber, this is probably also pshat in the Rambam. Right? This also works for the Rambam. The Rambam says, you don't even need Mesiach Mitumo, you just believe any guy stam. How do you believe any guy stam? The other things bigger weren't going to help. But with this shach, the Rambam's talking not so crazy. We know pasta, that's even pasta. The Rambam's not so bad. Why would you believe any guy without anything? Because what do you mean? You have the best thing here. In 5 minutes, you're going to tell him he's a liar. Why would he lie?
Well, exactly. I mean, isn't it so good for the Rambam that now it doesn't make so much sense for the... Like, why would, according to the Shah, why would the Rashba or the Rashi and Rash opinion need there to be... Does he have to be told?
Why would you need...
He's about to get busted. Meaning, it...
Okay, so the answer...
Like, he might want to mess with you, or you're...
So the answer might be that we're afraid he might want to mess with you.
Right, but that more... All right.
It seems like you could say.
Should right. Yeah. If it's Monsieur Vito, he doesn't know you're about to eat it. Otherwise,
yeah. No, but he knows you're going to eat it. What are you going to do with the pot of soup? What are you going to do with it besides eat it? I mean, even if he doesn't have a halach issue, he knows you're going to eat it. What else do you do with food but eat?
So why is he...
You don't like the taste of pork. You want
to
like...
I don't know. Maybe someone doesn't like this taste. Someone does like that taste. You know, you want to know who to serve it to.
I say to him, like, oh, you know, does this need more cream? And he says, oh, no, I don't taste any cream at all.
Right. Okay. These are the basic issues. Now let's see how we paskin by opening up the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch Sefalot, Issa Shinsar Beheter Min B'She'eno Mino, Kigon Chelev Shinsar Bid Basar. Right, now, the halacha might be the same for Cholov Shinsar Bid Basar, but then it would have been in Helchus Basar B'Cholov, not in Helchus Taruba. So here it's obviously Chelev Shinsar Bid Basar. Yetamenu Goy, if Goy tastes it, Im Omer She'en Botan Chelev, he says it doesn't taste of that's a topic that we're not really getting into now. It has its own simon. It says there is a tam chila, but it's a bad taste. Then mutter. It's not going to become a good taste. Okay, that Indian is not really for now. And he has to not know you're relying on him. Meaning, mesiach lefitumo. So the mechaber paskins mesiach lefitumo. However, in the Beis Yosef, how did he paskin very clearly?
Either or.
And therefore, the Shach says, excuse me, The Shachvukan Beis quotes from the Beis Yosef, the Chava really means either or. Even though you only mention Vesil Fitumo here, that's because that's more common. But, so in terms of Psak, how do we paskin? Here is the Mechaber. But here is the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber Lefi the Shach and Halacha Lemaisa. If we were Sephardi, we would paskin like the Beis Yosef and assume the Mechaber here was not being totally Dafka, but really either way works. He was just giving you the most convenient way. And we would paskin like the Rashba that either way worked. If you find a Fela, then he could be very aware, or if you have a Balabas, then he's speaking innocently. If there's no guy, then you use shishim. Or if there's no way to know what it tastes like, you use shishim. So again, this we paskind. We just have to paskin this. What does the Mechaber sound like here? Which of these four shitas does the Mechaber sound like?
The Rambam.
The Rambam. The Mechaber sounds cool like the Rambam. And the Shach says the Mechaber is like the Rambam. Shach says very clearly. That means if you have a guy, you're not allowed to measure with shishim. You have to dafka use a guy if possible. Only when there's no guy, or they have the same taste and there's nothing for the guy to check. So this is the Mechaber Lefi Shach. That's really the pashas of the Mechaber. However, the Gra says that in Sifkatan something, in which Sifkatan of Gra I'm intending to quote, yeah, at the end of Sifkatan Zayin, v'divrei Shulchan Aruch ein behen echreya shukadivrei gemara delo kashach. Says he thinks, no, the Mechaber is no hechreya. The Mechaber is just echoing the language of the Gemara. He's not necessarily telling you davka. I mean, if you read the Mechaber, davka is the Rambam. But he's just, therefore he says, ein behen echreya, and then he says, look later on in Siman Kuf, because in Siman Kuf, the Mechaber says, oh, just check if they're shishim. Why doesn't he say get a guy? So the Ron's saying he thinks that it's not so poshut that maybe the Mechaber holds you can either use a kfeila or use shishim. And you can go. You can go either way. And excuse me. So the Gra assumes that the Mechaber is Mechaber Ulai Lefi Gra, really. Maybe the Mechaber, according to the Gra, says you can use either one. Either Shishim or Kfeila. You don't dafka have to go to Kfeila. Lemaisa, then what's the meaning of Sfardim nowadays? I'm not saying the halacha. I'm saying the common practice of Sfardim. Do they go get a Kfeila or do they measure Shishim? Right. Now, theoretically, they could go get a Kfeila. That's what it says in the Mechaber. But we all know that all the Sfardim, 99.9% of the time, don't get a Kfeila even if they have household help. They don't get a kfeila, they just use shishim. It must be the minig of Sfardim is like the Gra against the Shach. And even though that's not the pshat of the Mechaber, that's not what the Shach says the Mechaber means. But the Gra says the Mechaber ain't been a Quran, the Mechaber can go either way. And later on, the Mechaber mentions shishim in a lot of contexts unnecessarily. Siman Kuf, he says, just measure shishim. Why doesn't he say, if there's no goy available, measure shishim? Must be, he really holds you could do either one. And therefore, this is the minhag of the check samach. That's not a zero, it's a samach. The minhag of the Sfardim is that really you could go either way. yes. Now, just to be fair, I was a little inexact. It's not so clear if he's going with the Rush or with the Ramban Rush for the Ran, but we'll, you know, ignore that detail.
He said, quote on Kamachayim, he said, minhag Sfardim is to follow the Ramban, not relying on the other Bachal. I don't know.
Right. But in any case, you can only follow the Ramah if you did not hold like the Ramah. If you held like the Ramah, you don't have the right to follow the Ramah. Right? You have no right to be Mikil and follow the Ramah. Right? Now the Ashkenazim say something strange. Says the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim have a new pshat that's not any pshat in the Gemara. We never use a goy, we only use shishim. That's not anyone's pshat in the Gemara. Why is it not anyone's pshat in the Gemara? Because the Gemara says kfeila. It has to mean something. As an option, as an additional requirement, as in some circumstances, it has to mean something. The Gemara said the word kfeila. Minig of Ashkenazim is against the Gemara. Okay, so the question is, what's pshat in the minig of the Ashkenazim? And here, there are really a gazillion different pshatim here in the minig of the Ashkenazim. But we will try to figure out what's pshat in the minig of the Ashkenazim. Because, again, not only it happens to not be any of the Rishonim pshat in the Gemara. It's against the Gemara. By the way, who is this based on?
The
Ugger. The Ugger is a late Ashkenazi Rishon. So, if here we have the Ugger. The Ugger says very simple. Shishim. And it's against the Gemara. Question is, what changed? Right? What gives us the right to ignore the Gemara? So, and now, it could be just a matter of minhag, but we still don't know what the base of the minhag is. So what does the shach here argue against? What's the machlokas here between the shach and... he takes on, I think, a levush here.
Yeah.
He quotes a levush here someplace, right?
Your hand?
Yeah. Look at Terzah. What does the levush say the pshat in the Ramah is?
We don't know how to taste
anymore. We're not bekiyam in taste. We don't know taste anymore. Now again, that's it's a tricky one. Trickier than most of the Ramahs. If the Ramah says, we don't know how salty is really salty, then I can see that a little more because the getter of salty comes from Chazal and maybe we don't know what they meant. If he said, we don't know how fatty is fat, Chazal meant a certain fattiness, maybe we forgot what they meant. If he says, but here, it's not like we have to have a masora. Either you taste the lard or you don't taste the lard. Like, you don't need a masora. For fattiness, like, you need a masora. How fatty is fat? And how salty is salt? And so I understand how you could say, oh, we're not bakiyim. Either it tastes like lard or it doesn't taste like lard. Like, you don't have to know where to draw the line. It's in yes or no. But nonetheless, it could be the Ramah. Assume nowadays we just don't know anything. Nowadays, we're terrible scientists. We're decent Jews, but terrible scientists. We don't know how to measure anything. So, says the Levush, Ein Anu Bekiyim Beteima. Nafkamina is, it's not only a guy we're not Somechan nowadays, we're not Somechan a Jew either. It just doesn't come up that much. Okay, the Shach disagreed. The Shach points out himself. We just had this Machlokes in Kavav, sorry. What does the Shach say? It's not that we're not Somechan, we don't know how to taste nowadays, but
we don't just
guy him anymore. The Bach agrees also. We don't just goyim anymore. Why don't we trust goyim anymore? What happened to our goyim? So he doesn't totally say, right? Like, are goyim so much more corrupt and depraved than the goyim of Chazal? So maybe it gets a little tricky because, after all, if you learn Masechet Avodah Zarah, you know, it seems that the goyim were pretty depraved then, right? Meaning you're not allowed to leave. Right? You're not allowed to leave your sheep, be yichud, with a guy, because they might... I'm not going to finish my sentence with it. Right? Not only that, right? You're not allowed to even leave a female sheep alone, be yichud, with a female guy, because... Now, nothing they can do, but because the male guy might come to be tovei the female guy and see the sheep and prefer the sheep. And then it would be lift the ether. I mean, we're talking about people who are chushin in a lot of things, not to mention the fact that chushin is shvichas damim all the time, and, you know, gila rice, shvichas damim, but I mean, Rizar is obvious, but the gila rice, shvichas damim, right? You're not allowed to, like, you're not allowed to be, right? You're not allowed to be, get a haircut from the guy, because they'll, of course, take the razor and slit your throat. Meaning, they weren't such wonderful goyim described in the Mishnah. So it's, now again, I maybe between the Mishnah and the Gemara, maybe the Bumble and Estrella, I don't know, I'm not a historian. But so you could say our goyim are worse.
The Meiri
says the opposite. The Meiri says our goyim are better. Certainly, it seems to me that our goyim nowadays are better. Meaning, not all of them are such big tzaddikim, but they seem to be better than the ones described in Masechet Avodah Zarah. You know, the goyim in America are downright nice. and they probably wouldn't do anything with my sheep if I left them alone. So it's not clear. Maybe Stam, who knows, in the days of the Ramah, they had really bad goyim. Or the Bach says,
He says actually it's clever. This would totally be true like nowadays in like Brooklyn or something. He says, it's just in our days, the Goyim all figured this out and there's no more Messiah for Pitumo. In their days, the Goyim haven't figured it out yet. In our days, the Goyim picked up on it and now we lost our Messiah for Pitumo. Okay, that could be. That's not an unreasonable shot. You know, like, okay, in our days, like, there's Shabbos Goy, just like, you know, everything else, he knows this. So in any case, says the Shach and the Bach.
But now it should be back on, because it was off for a few hundred years.
Ah, now the Goyim don't know. Yeah, I don't know, the Goyim.
I had friends in college who, for sure, if you'd ask them a question like that, like, yeah. Oh, you can't eat meat and milk together? Oh, sure, oh,
yeah, 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 the Goyim nowadays, again, it's not a matter of being, it's not like you have to be Einstein to figure this out. It's just a matter of how much cultural exposure you have. I think the Goyim nowadays, they know all the Jewish rules by now. So I don't think it's going to be hard to find Messiah for Pitumo nowadays. So they say the Shach and Bach is that Ein Somchem al Goyim Bizman Hazeh. Therefore, the Nachminius, as we pointed out, the Shach says you could rely on a Jew, but not a Goy, although the case when you rely on a Jew is very rare. So the Nachminius is very slight. Rabbi Kiva Eger comes up with something exceedingly clever. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, we'll just bring two clever pshatim. Rabbi Kiva Eger comes up with something exceedingly clever. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, we're just machmir for Rashi and Tosos. And, against the Ish Omrim, we're machmir that maybe you need Messiah for Vitumo. And maybe you need Uman, Lomari Nasei. And an Uman can never be Messiah for Vitumo. Because if he was Messiah for Vitumo, then he wouldn't be careful what to say. So he says, and therefore, we're machmir for both shitas, and you can never have a trustworthy guy. Because if he's a Messiah for Pitumo, maybe he needs to be an Uman Lomarim Nasim. He's not. And if he's an Uman Lomarim Nasim, you tell him it's very serious and you're going to check him, then he's not the Messiah for Pitumo. Now, you could just find two different goyim to get around that. But he assumes that already that's Milsad al Shricha. That's the clever part of Rabbi Kiva Eger.
But isn't the
Raya
that's not? We don't need to be
machmir
for both, is that then
there
would never be this
din
in the Gemara?
No, the Gemara meant either one or the other. The suffix were machmir both ways, because we don't know what the Gemara meant.
It's a suffix that we machmir in a way that we know the Gemara didn't mean to be machmir.
Yes, but the problem is this. If we ask a Baal Bas innocently, then we're not sure if the Gemara meant to trust him or not. And if we ask a chef professionally, we're not sure what the Gemara meant. So either way, we're 50-50. The Gemara definitely meant one of these is trustworthy. But either one of them were Masufik. Okay, that's where we can be. Eger's clever, Vart.
Why can't you ask a chef innocently?
He thinks that that's can't be Dimitsius against some Rishonim. I know that's against some Rishonim. What can I tell you? The Rav understood, based on the Chavos Das, a very simple pshat, just that we're Choshesh for Rashi. Now, not that we pass like Rashi Legamre. We pass like Rashi Legamre, Rashi Shishim, and Kfeila. But we're choshesh for the d'oraisa side of Rashi. And for Rashi, shishim is d'oraisa and kfeil is d'rabanan. And therefore, in d'oraisa, we're makel like Rashi. And therefore, you always need shishim. But in d'rabanan, we're makel like the re. And therefore, you don't need also kfeil. So there's a three. The Rav understood this, and it's pretty mafurish, comes out of the Chavos Das. So just, we'll say one is the Lavush, two is the Shaf, three is Rabbi Kiva Eger. And four is based on the Chavos Das. The Chavos Das says that we paskin like Rashi. Or at least we paskin somewhat like Rashi. So now we don't totally paskin like Rashi, because then you would need it to be less than a 60th and pass a taste test. But you have to say we're choshesh for the d'oraisa part of Rashi. Right? So the word expands this. The Chavos Das doesn't say in quite so many words. But
according to all the other pshatim,
machmirim, kedas Rashi, legabe shishim, shehu minatora. Right? Why would we be only machmir for part of Rashi, not the other part? So we're machmir for the right part of Rashi, not the rabbanan part of Rashi.
According to the other pshatim, once you get rid of the ability to use the kfeila, then it's really the din of the Gemara. It's like a kfeila shishim. According to this pshat, it's not. It's against the Gemara. It's
correct. Absolutely. Agreed. Okay, but lemaisa minig Ashkenaz is very clearly regards to the lungus, meaning Ashkenaz like the ugur, like the Ramah, and therefore we would never give anything to a guy to taste. We just measure with shishim, shalom al Yisrael. Okay, by the Sfaradim, the cold question comes up. What if, let's say something is mamish, like 1 to 15, 59 ratio. You're pretty sure you can't taste the lard. But, you know, you don't know for sure. Maybe if it's lard, you would. But let's say it was some other case where you're pretty sure you couldn't taste it. So, this depends what the Vinegar Sfaradim is. But if you find a Sfaradi who's more Ravadia type, the Chaber Sfaradi, what you could do is, based on the Shach against the Lavush, what's enough to do with the Shach and Lavush? If you get a guy to taste it and he says he doesn't taste the lard, you could then get a Sfaradi to taste it. And if the Sfaradi says he doesn't taste the lard, you could eat it. So I think you could rely on that theoretically. You know, practically, it's definitely not worth the trouble. But it's a clever kind. According to Lavush, it wouldn't help. Because we're machmir not to trust the Sfaradi either. Because even though he wouldn't lie, chas v'shalom, but no one knows how to taste nowadays. But according to the Shach, we do trust Jews. We only don't trust goyim. And the Sfaradi trusts the guy. So if you have a guy taste it, he says it's okay, then the Sfaradi's allowed to taste it. If he says it's okay, then the Ashkenazi can eat it. So that's a clever thing they like to say over in the yeshivas, that is based on the Shach. Now, again, that wouldn't work for the other Hezbeirim of the Ramah. Meaning, or rather, it worked for Shach or Mikveh, it wouldn't work for the Chavos Das. For the Chavos Das, we're like Rashi. For the Levush, we don't taste, but according to the Shachar, if you eager, it would work. So that would be a nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, can you get a two-step process of tasting? And all the mice, I think we could be maker like the Shach, but it's not really practical, and you'd probably insult the Sfaradi, so it's not worth it. So, unless the Sfaradi thought it was cool.
No, he would be like,
right.
Right,
so if you find a real Talmud or Ravadia wants to show that we follow Moran HaMechaber, and will, you know, be excited at the opportunity to get an Ashkenazi to follow Maran, then I think you can rely on the Shach as opposed to the Drisha and the Mekel this way. Okay, so that's a real nafkamina. Right? Nafkamina, to get a guy and then a Sfaradi to taste it, according to 2 and 3, that's okay. According to 1 and 4, it's not okay. And we would be Mekel. Because we really pass on the Shach on this Meikra then. Anything else that came up in this sif that we have to discuss? Let me just make sure I didn't miss anything. We're not going to go through... okay, there's two issues that we still have to discuss. number one, a very small issue. Who's in charge of that? Number one, very small issue, which is the Pisgei Tshuvos of Katan Beis. How do you measure shishim? Weight or volume? Now, he makes it much more complicated than he has to. Basically, the answer is in one word, volume. He just comes up with all kinds of scenarios where, like, well, if two things are the same density, you could use weight instead of volume. Well, yeah, of course, because weight and volume are the same thing. Or if two things are the same density and one of them has a whole big hole in the middle, then you should use weight. Of course, because it's hard to measure the volume if it has a hole in the middle. But Be'ikaron, we use volume, not weight. That's the Yisod. So I am going to hereby be Moser Moda B'fneichen, that any time I say ounces in the entire year of Yeridea, I mean fluid ounces, which are volume. I don't actually mean ounces, which are weight, because the halacha goes by volume, not weight. Almost everything in halacha goes by volume, not weight, right? Because ice also goes by volume, and etc., etc. So here the shishim goes by volume. Second issue, which is the discussion of the second Taz. The second Taz asks a simple kasha. Men b'she'en aminu d'yisura, you have a mixture of meat and orange juice, treif meat and kosher orange juice, or kosher meat and treif orange juice. right, there is a seder zoram. And you don't know if you can taste it or not. So the Gemara, the Ashkenazim would measure shishim. But the Gemara says, use a kfeva. Get a guy to taste it. Why? Because the Jew can't taste it. The Taz asks, why can't the Jew taste it? The Jew won't eat it. Let the Jew just taste it. Isn't it good enough for a Jew to taste it? Right? Obviously, the Jew can't eat it. Why not taste it? And here he brings down a fundamental machlokas. Are you allowed to taste something treif, or are you not allowed to taste something treif? Or, more precisely, his discussion is, can you taste something that might be treif, or can you not taste something that might be treif?
So this is a fundamental machlokas discussed in the Shtas of Katan Beis and the Piskei Tshuvas of Katan Aleph.
Chef school, right?
Could have nafkaminas. Just get enough nafkaminas for going to chef school, right? Although it's not really going to help you. Chef school is a big problem. Basically, chef school is number one, the issue of cooking bus will call you if you don't taste it. And number two, the issue of tasting, which as we'll see, is going to be very problematic because he doesn't say that, even the Taz doesn't say, you could taste an Isser. The Taz says, you could taste a Suffolk Isser. Problem is in chef school, you probably don't cook a lot of Suffolk Isser. I mean, you know your ingredients, right? You probably cook a lot. I mean, okay, maybe stomp things that a Hechsher might be Suffolk Isser. I was saying, you cook serious stuff. Which is Vada Yisurin. So it's, yeah, chef school is bad news. I don't know what people, I mean, I know what a lot of people I know do. They come to Israel and go to kosher chef school. But I don't know if they have kosher chef school in America.
One.
They do? Okay, so go to that.
It's in New York somewhere.
Yeah, there are some things that are very problematic.
Why do you need to taste it yourself? You have to have your friend taste it for you.
I never went to chef school. You can do whatever you want. My assumption is that you're not going to pass chef school if you don't taste it yourself. So, I have no idea. It's up to you to be clever.
When I worked at OU, I had a friend who was doing it, and it was very difficult for her because she didn't taste anything. But she passed. And
okay. So I guess, all right. So anyway, it's at least a very big challenge. There are some schools that are a very big challenge, and chef school is one of them, right? Veterinarian school is also pretty awful. As well, being a veterinarian, because most of the work of veterinarians is doing Yisurim Doraisa, which is staying and neutering.
Potentially even for a Ben Noach, right?
That doesn't help me either way. yeah. And, okay, medical school, you only have to worry about Shabbos. but veterinary school and cooking school, even during the week, you do Yisurim most of the time. So, okay, you have to.
Art school is also pretty.
Think about it very hard. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, back to tasting Yisur. So, Te'imas Isser. So, again, Te'imas Stam Isser. It's also, no one was matter Te'imas Te'imas Stam Isser. What was the discussion of the Taz? So the Taz was, Te'imas Suffolk Isser. Te'imas Suffolk Isser. So says the Taz, mutter. Ah, if it's mutter, then why do you need to go here? Why doesn't a Jew just taste it? So what's his answer?
She'd have to put it in her mouth.
Exactly. Mutter is te'ima b'loshum, to taste it. However, he says, you know why you need a kfeila here? Because if you just taste it a little with your tongue, you're not going to get a good read. You're not going to get the answer. To get the answer, you need to mamish eat it. Otherwise, you're not going to tell what it tastes like. I'm certain that even the professional tasters... I once read an article in the New York Times about these two ladies. I forget what their names were. Who were like the biggest professional tasters in America. Of course they had to swallow everything in order to taste it. You had to lick something and tell what it tastes. I mean, you could tell if it's a lollipop or chili pepper. But, you know, to really get the taste, you need to eat it. Okay, however, the Pesach Tshuva quotes a diuk from the Shach and from the Prima Gadim, right? So the Prima Gadim, based on the Shach, says, oh, sir, it all comes down to this question. What was the main question they were worried about? You buy meat and you're not sure if it's salted or not. Nowadays, there might still be places that sell meat before Malicha. Not many anymore. Once upon a time, kosher butchers sold meat without Malicha. You did Malicha at home.
Maybe liver.
But liver, you know, is without Malicha. Right? There's no suffix. Right. Nowadays, they even sell the liver broiled sometimes. Okay, but they never sell it salted. So, let's say in the old days, you bought meat from the butcher, you don't know if it's salted or not. How can you tell? It's a big tear if it's salted again. Very simple. If it's salted, it tastes salty. If it's not salted, it doesn't taste salty. I heard a rumor, this is not in the New York Times, but I heard a rumor that one of the ways they caught this Muncie butcher for many years ago was that the chickens tasted less salty than usual. Because he was selling trade ones. They don't do Malicha. I assume... You guys are old enough to remember that incident?
Yeah.
Yeah. The
what about the feathers would have been the telltale sign?
Whatever it is. Anyway, Lemaisa, so can you just lick it to see if it's salted or not? Ah, but you don't know it's Suffolk salt and Suffolk not, so it's Suffolk kosher, Suffolk trade. So you don't know. So in any case, the Taz says for sure mocha, because we see by Te'imas Hamara, the gallbladder is missing. It might or may not be treifa. You have to taste the part of the liver where the gallbladder belongs. And if you taste gall, then it's kosher. And if you don't taste gall, then it's treifa. That's halacha treifa. We're not meant to understand it now. So it says, oh, you can taste it. So we see that you're allowed to taste something which might or may not be yeser, aser, death, the taz. Also, why don't we do it in our sugya? Ah, because just a little licking with your mouth, with your tongue rather, is not going to get the answer. You need to really eat it in order to figure out whether it's usher or mutter, and that's why you need a guy. The Shach, however, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, and the Shach says back there in Hilchos Treifos, the reason you're allowed to lick to check for the mara is because it's big room that it's kosher, either b'nsias or b'halacha or both, and therefore it sounds like only when there's a roof that it's kosher. But if it's really a suffix, you're not allowed to taste it. And we paskin, like the Shach, that you're not allowed to taste even a suffix isser. So really, tasting isser is looking very bad right now. Then it goes to the Tshuva, the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Lubavitcher Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, the earlier Shut Tzemach Tzedek, what in the modern-day poskim they call Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch and Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon, the early Tzemach Tzedek. So there's an earlier Shut of the Achronim called the Tzemach Tzedek, and that was analyzed by a certain Noda Behuda, who was wondering, people wanted to taste the soap to see if it had the right ingredient. I don't remember which ingredient. If it has enough salt. They got enough salt in the soap. So you're now the soap was made from
blood.
Or some sort of treif animal fat, right? Whatever it may have been, right? Blubber, whatever. The salt was made of fat in those days. So not the salt. The soap was made of fat in those days. So are you allowed to taste it? So he says, well, it's pogum. It really doesn't taste good. So it's only us to Rabbanan. And an Isser Drabbanan, you're allowed to taste. So here's this big Chiddush, you're allowed to taste an Isser Drabbanan. Whoa, that's a big Chiddush. And then the Noda Behuda says, what about Te'imas Isser Drabbanan?
Even Suffolk is that?
No, there's even a Vada Isser Drabbanan. So the Tzemach Tzedek is mashma that it's mutter. However, the Noda Behuda said it's usher, and even said it's usher. And the mice in this case, I think we're machmer like the Noda Behuda. Again, yeah, if it really comes up, you have to ask again, but lechor we wouldn't. However, the Noda Behuda, in the course of that shuva, it's a very short Noda Behuda, he says, you know, there's two different steps in this Pesachei Tshuva. There's the point that it's only usher Rabbanan, but there's something more than that. It's pogum. It's really not edible. If it's really not edible, it really shouldn't even be usher Rabbanan. Why is it only usher Rabbanan? It's only usher Rabbanan. This is how Rav Schechter understands the Tzemach Tzedek. He didn't mean stam to make it only usher Rabbanan. He meant really if it's not edible, it shouldn't be usher at all. The only reason it's usher Rabbanan is because if you eat it, actually, you're showing that you consider it a food. But if you're just tasting it to see if it has the right recipe for washing your dishes or for using soap in the bathhouse, then you're obviously not achshavei. And therefore, it could be if it comes to te'imas iser pogum, meaning eino roi lachila, here the tzemach tzedek said mutter, and the Noda Behuda did not necessarily argue. Right? Did not explicitly argue with him. We're not 100% sure. We didn't explicitly argue with him. And therefore, this explains a certain minhag ha'olam. What's the minhag ha'olam? And even though the Noda Behuda says that the minhag ha'olam is that when I was a kid, this was the minhag ha'olam when I was a kid, everyone used mouthwash and toothpaste without a hechsher. Everyone. How do I know everyone used mouthwash and toothpaste without a hechsher? Because there was no mouthwash and toothpaste with a hechsher. So
So, or at least that I'm familiar with. Again, I don't know what they had in faraway lands, but in kosher supermarkets where I shopped. So, why did everyone use mouthwash and toothpaste without a hechsher? After all, they might have treif. How do I know they might have treif in them? Because the ingredients sometimes contain glycerin. And glycerin is a sweetener which is made of any starch. And a starch could come from anywhere. And all the kosher agencies say all glycerin is considered suffic iser because the starch could come from anywhere and there's no clear yediyah of a rov or a chazaka whether it comes from animal source or vegetable source. Obviously, vegetable source being kosher. You know, we don't have to worry about the shvius and the arla from Israel. And animal source being treif. We don't have to worry about shechted cows. It's all factories in China. All the vegetables there are kosher, and all the animals there are treif. So, but we don't know if it's animal or vegetable source, and it's even hard to find out sometimes. Like, if a company wants a hechsher, then they can find out. But a non-hechshered company, you can't even call the company to find out. Like, they don't know. and they have these computers that, like, have automatic bidding systems, and, you know, every day get it from a different factory in China anyway, so it's very hard to track nowadays. So, why did everyone use treif mouthwash and toothpaste? Because of the Tzemach Tzedek, it's not Roi Lachila. If it's not Roi Lachila, then even if it's treif, it's mutter to taste and only usher to eat. And no one eats their mouthwash and toothpaste because it's not edible. That's why we don't eat it. It's not like we have a minhag not to eat it because of some other reason. We don't eat it for precisely the logical reason that it's not good for eating. So that's why Rav Schechter says that it is fine to have treif mouthwash and toothpaste. Because it's not edible. Okay, in the old days, there were other etirim that other gedolim came up with, some of which are just not relevant to modern-day toothpaste recipes, ingredients, so I'm not going to mention them all. But at least in the modern day, I've read a lot of ingredients. I've made a habit of reading the ingredients on every new type of mouthwash and toothpaste I find, just so I'll know what I'm talking about. And I think really the only explanation that happened is what Rav Schechter says, that's the heter for mouthwash and toothpaste because it's not edible, and if it's not edible, then then there's no problem. And even though the lashon here is that the Tzemach Tzedek only permitted tasting it with your tongue and not actually eating it, if you look inside, it's clear that what he meant was taking your mouth, tasting it with your tongue, and spitting it out, as opposed to swallowing it, which is what we do with mouthwash and toothpaste. You know, we're pretty makbid not to swallow it.
And why are people, at least makbid on Pesach, to get a certain brand of toothpaste they won't use and certain they will?
Give me a second first. So, for many years, Rebelsky Zatzal and Rav Schechter, Shlita Yibadol Chaim Tovim, argued about this at the OU. Here I just have from March 9th, a presentation on March 9th, 2003, but I know for a fact they argued about that for many years before 2003 and for many years after 2003 as well. Just happened to be there was a presentation that day. Where Belsky says, Pasha Usser. Nothing to talk about. Pasha that it's Usser to treif mouthwash and toothpaste. Why? Or he's talking mostly about mouthwash here, but I think he says the same thing about toothpaste someplace. Okay, he talks here about mouthwash. He says, because they're roi lachila, they taste good. He thinks they taste good, they're not pogum. Meaning, it's a little tricky, they argue where to draw the line of what's like pogum, what isn't. He says they taste good, after all, they sell them with special good taste. So he says, it's pashat aser, this is not pogum, it's not nifsol me'achila. He even says that, you pick like a certain type of mouthwash, because it leaves a good taste in your mouth. So Rebelsky says, Pasha that it is usser, and Rav Schechter says Pasha that it is mutter. Of course, it's not edible. Rav Schechter says he even heard from Shimon Schwab, right, which was the relative's neighbor back in the day, that you know he used to tell people he needed a pill in Yom Kippur and couldn't swallow it to just swallow it in mouthwash because then that's not roi lachila, so it's not a problem on Yom Kippur. So ad kedei kach. So how could Rebelsky say that it's perfectly good to eat if Rav Shimon Schwab says that you can eat it on Yom Kippur? So Belsky says you're not eating it, but you're not allowed to taste the vada yisur. This is a vada yisur. Or you're not even allowed to taste the suffik yisur. It's a suffik yisur. Rav Schechter says, what do you mean it's pugum? It's pashut mutter.
Right. So, I mean, aren't they like both? Right. I mean, mouthwash definitely tastes good in a certain sense. It makes your mouth feel like it has a good taste. but nobody would just drink mouthwash. So if you're doing it for the taste, it's like
that's
right. So here,
what's on the board? Pogum or Inorayla Chila?
Right. So the mice, so we have to analyze the Yisod of the Machlokas between Rebelsky and Reb Schechter, which is hard for me to do because all I have is like some guy's like one paragraph English write up of Rebelsky's presentation. It's not like I have like a proper shit for Rebelsky. And Reb Schechter answered in Hebrew with a little more Makoros, but still, the kids are Nimrots. Either they're arguing quantitatively about, because we'll see that Rosh Shlomo Zalman at some point, who says, very unclear where to draw the line of Rai Lachila. He makes us very confused about it if I bring a lot of conflicting evidence. So maybe they argue, like, what's Rai Lachila? Is it like, it's disgusting, or it's like, not much good to eat? Rosh Hashanah says, it's not good to eat. Rebellion says, no, it's not disgusting. Or they might have something more subtle. The whole mouthwash might not be fit for eating, but the glycerin in it is good. Like, the glycerin in it is the good part, Davka. Glycerin is a sweetener. Like, don't believe anyone who tells you, who cares about trade glycerin? It's just something machmir made up because it has no taste. Glycerin is a sugar substitute. Not a sugar substitute. It's used differently, but it's a sweetener. And it might have other flavors also, which might have contradictions, but this is the most common one. So they might be arguing about, do you look at the whole thing as pogum, or do you look at only the trace part? Rebels says, the trace part is good. It's the kosher part that's pogum, but the trace part is good. And Rav Schechter says, no, you look at the whole deal. It's one chesed now. So, yesh l'ayin what the Yisod of the Machlokas says. I'm not going to go deeper than that right now. Someone can ask Rav Schechter, at least, to clarify his side.
But this also,
I'll probably be in, you know, passing through at some point.
I don't know if we need a heads up. Would this also be a heads up for like licking like something sticky, like an envelope or like biting tape? Do those things need a heads up, or would this be a heads up?
Those things, I don't know if it's shchiach to have treif in those things anyway. I mean, it might just be not shchiach to have treif in those things. But even if there was treif in those things, so lechor, this would be a heads up, correct? Like, even if the glue on the envelopes was, and the stamps, I don't know if they still make stamps you have to lick. But even if the part you have to lick on the stamps and the envelopes, in Israel, even the envelopes you don't have to lick.
I don't know if they still make stamps.
No, they do. I know. Even if they would be shchiach to have treif there, it would be mutter because it's pogum and you're allowed to lick pogum, yeah. Even Rebelsky would admit that. That's for sure disgusting. I don't think they put like mint flavor on the stamps.
Is that even called tima? Putting your tongue on it?
Yeah, you're looking at it and you're getting the taste on your tongue. You're tasting it. You know what it tastes like. That's how I know it doesn't taste good. Because I've licked it and I know it doesn't have a fresh mint flavor. You know, with bouquet of, you know, strawberry and oak. Anyway, so. RHS versus RWB. Lahav Dilin Chaim Lachaim. Those are the main issues that I want to discuss in Sif Aleph. Now we're ready for Sif Beis. Get as far as we can in Sif Beis. Sif Beis is discussing what's called Nishpach. What does Nishpach mean? Nishpach means you don't know how much treif fell into your pot. How can you not know? Just measure the treif and measure the kosher. So, the Poskim say there's a million different scenarios where you don't know. But the scenario they like to use is what's called nishbach, meaning, you know this piece of treif meat, this big, fell into your pot. But some of the pot spilled, so you don't know at the time it was in your pot whether the pot had 60 times as much or only 59 times as much. So that's a suffik. So basically, you have a suffik that you don't have Tom Kicker. So if you are Sephardi and you have a kfeila available, then no problem, just use a kfeila. But let's say you're Ashkenazi, you have no kfeila available. Now you have a suffik Tom, suffik not Tom. So you have suffik Tom Kicker. So what's the name suffik Tom Kicker? So the answer is Pashin. If it's Daraisa, suffik Daraisa Lachomer. If it's Drabanan, suffik Drabanan Lakula. And here we have the fundamental machlokas. We shown him whether we paskin Tom Kicker is Daraisa. Excuse me, or we paskin Tom Ke'ikr is Drabanan. This is a big, big, big machlokes. Shonim sugyas all over Shas. It's really, we don't have time to get into all the rayas back and forth. It's the most famous shitas are Rabbeinu Tam versus Rashi, right? Rabbeinu Tam holds Tom Ke'ikr is Doraisa, therefore something be the Chumra. Rashi holds Tom Ke'ikr is Drabanan, And therefore, Safek would be Lakula. The Rambam is on Rashi's side. The Tam Kikr is Rabbanan.
Is Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi an inverse of the Shishim?
Yes, but interestingly, when the Poskim quote them, they like quote it as two completely independent things. Because logically, it could be independent, even though it works out well together. Could it be independent? No, okay. This Rashi, sort of like, going back, yeah. It's not totally havaha, meaning it happens to be that Rashi holds Shishim is more serious and Tam is less serious, and Tosfos holds the opposite. But it didn't have to be that way. You could hold they're both Daraisa, or you could hold they're both Drabana, and many Rishonim do.
But so, from the Gemaras itself, it doesn't come
out. No. From the Gemaras, it's not going to come out. So here we have the din of Tam Ke'ikr. So Min HaTorah is Rabbeinu Tam, and seemingly the Rashba, and other Rishonim. Midrabanan is the Shita of Rashi, and the Rambam, and other Rishonim. The Ran has an interesting in-between Shita. Says the Ran, he says he's possibly Midrabanan, but he has a slightly different vart as to what that means. Says the Ran, Midrabanan, but he says, if Tam Ke'ikr be Rabbanan, there's still two scenarios. If lard dissolved in my soup, that's Aser Midoraisa. That's mamish, not Tam. While if ham fell in my soup, got cooked there, and was removed, that's Midrabanan, that's Tam Ke'ikr. Meaning, the Ran splits between two different cases of Tam. There's Tam that comes from the substance being in there, and Tam that was emitted by a substance, but the substance itself is not there. So the Ran says that I pass the Midrabanan, but what I mean by Midrabanan is not necessarily what other posts can mean by Midrabanan. The Ran says, what I mean by Drabbanan is that if you took the Be'en out and only the Tam is left there, that's Drabbanan. But if the Be'en fell in and got mixed in, which could only happen if the Be'en was liquid or a solid that melts easily, then that's Daraisa. So we have three Shitas. When you have Tarovas and Isser and Hector, you can taste the Isser. Tosfos, the Rashba, and others say across the board, it's an Isser. If you taste the Isser, it's also Daraisa. Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam is very clearly not like the Ran. Say, no, even if you can taste it, it's only Drabbanan. And the Ran says, it depends. If you can taste it and it's actually in there, then it's Daraisa. Because that's not Tam Ke'ikr, that's Ikr. If you can taste it because the taste was emitted, but you took the Ben out, then that's only Midrabbanan. We will see that we paskin like this Shita.
According to Rashi, he would say if lard, like an Asa Daraisa lard, melts in your soup, that's only ever going to be Asa Midrabanan, because it's melted.
The Rambam is very clearly says that. Rashi would sound like that as well.
So anything that melts, you would never have an Asa Daraisa on that, if it's once it's melted into something else.
Okay, there is a place where you draw the line. If it's so much that it's kezayis bechtei chilas pras, then the Rambam admits that's Doraisa. So if it's like, anyone remember what the Rambam sheet of kezayis bechtei chilas pras is?
It was three kibitzos.
It was, so maybe it's like one in six ratio or one in nine ratio. It's a machlok to show whether kezayis bechtei chilas pras is 1 to 6, 1 to 8, 1 to 9, 1 to 12, or something else. So, anyway, to be continued. But, so, now, there is, let me just point out, I'm really going to try to speed so we can, otherwise we're not going to get through much of Hilchos Tarovos. Just for those who have time, on Sif Beis, there are three important makoros. One is more what they call an Israel Pikanti makor, which is the Nefesh Arav, page 228, has a great story.
Nefzerah Pichutoni and his great story.
What's picante?
Oh, picante. How do you say picante in English?
Off the beaten path, like an enjoyable little story, but it's not mainstream.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, if you're so number one, there's a great cute story in Nefzerah, page 228. Number two, if you want to know the Yesod of the Shita of the Ramah, there's the Chavos Das of Kut and Gimel. It's very long, so I'll summarize it here. And number three. And number three, but I slipped my mind, so I guess it's not that important.